Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on the new home for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, delighted to be here. We have as our guest today, Father Dan Durie, who is the associate pastor of St. Paul's Catholic Church in Westerville and one of our newer priests in the diocese. It's great to have you on the show. Welcome, Father Dan.
Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. It's kind of our custom here on the show to begin at the beginning, so to speak. So could you please tell us a little bit about your family life growing up? Because it sounds like your family provided some fertile ground for the seed of a religious vocation.
Well, absolutely, they did. And I can certainly attribute my vocation to the priesthood to my family. And it is what the Vatican Council II called the domestic church. And indeed, it was in my home. We would pray the rosary together quite often. We had a special devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, and that certainly instilled in me a deep appreciation of my Catholic faith and also a special devotion to Our Lady. And I think that helped me tremendously grow closer to Jesus Christ. I didn't always enjoy praying the rosary. I wanted to go outside and play, but my father and my mother instilled in me that calling to grow closer to Mary, the mother of Christ. And so that certainly has helped me tremendously.
Okay. And you went to a rather unusual school from kindergarten through seventh grade, which was Our Lady of Fatima Academy. So tell us a little bit about that school, because it's no longer in existence.
It isn't. But again, I think this also contributed in a very deep way to my being able to answer this call. It was a very small school, probably about 50 students max,
wow.
And it was K through 8.
And that's
so
50 through 8, students through the whole
50
school.
50 students, wow. For the whole school, led by a wonderful woman by the name of Mary Hassan. She really was a living saint. She devoted her whole life to this school, to the education of the children in the faith and other subjects as well. So she taught all the subjects, and she was very special to me. By the way she lived her faith. And that is the most powerful way you educate another person, is by living your faith in a very strong, proud way. And certainly she did that. So we would have devotions in the school. We would have Mass, the Rosary. So certainly this helped me tremendously.
So was it in those K through 7 years when you began feeling a call to the priesthood?
Yes, I felt this call very early on in my life, probably soon after the age of reason, so 7 or 8. So I very much looked up to the priest, especially my parish priest, Monsignor Corcoran was there at Holy Cross downtown, and also Monsignor Barrent. They were just, I wouldn't call them extraordinary, but just ordinary men who were devoting their lives to Jesus. And even at a young age, I kind of saw that. They were up there at the altar. They were very prayerful men. And I just thought the priest was awesome. He was kind of like Superman to me. And so early on, I felt that calling. I felt that I want to be a priest. And so I would play Mass in my basement, which is probably a very common occurrence. I usually make my brother Mike the altar server. So he's still getting over that. But... No, I enjoyed that very much, just imitating the priest and what he did. And I got to see, of course, the Mass close up as an altar server. So I think that also helps young men look at the priest in a different way, to see that he's normal and to get a different perspective of the Mass.
So. Okay, so you have this elementary years and into junior high, and you're feeling this call. Your family is obviously supporting that and nurturing that. But then you transferred to public school after Our Lady of Fatima Academy. And what was that like?
Well, it was a shock. It was quite different than the private Catholic school that I was used to, especially the values that were instilled there. So I went to this public school, and I think, eighth grade I started in public schools. So you go from a school from 50 students to about 800.
Wow.
So with certainly different morals and values. So that was a difficult transition. But in that time, again, I think it was my family and my other friends from Our Lady of Fatima Academy School that really helped me in my relationship with Christ, that helped me to get through that difficult transition.
And in those years of public education, some other kind of callings were happening to you too, more of worldly callings.
That's right. Yeah, I think in high school, the world and what the world considers as success started to dominate my mind. And so the priesthood idea was shoved to the back. And so the worldly notion of success, that is to make as much money as you can, came to the forefront. And so that became my priority then at that point in high school, really.
And after high school, you attended OSU and you decided to study real estate. And but then during your time there, God's voice came back again.
Yes. God would not leave me alone. And thank goodness he didn't, right? He kept calling me to the priesthood, even though I maybe didn't want to hear the call. And it was at this point, my third year into Ohio State, studying there, that they sent a seminarian to my parish, Holy Cross. And this really, I think, is the only time that they sent a seminarian to my parish. And I got to know him, and I discovered that, hey, guess what? These are normal guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're normal. They like to, play sports. They have interests in movies and music. But they just wish to serve God in the church. And so he introduced me to other priests and seminarians of the diocese. And that was very powerful to me, their example. And the whole priesthood idea came back to the forefront. And I began to once again consider it very deeply, pray about it. And it was then that I decided that I had to try it out. And what better place than the seminary to discern a calling to the priesthood?
Now, when you made that discernment to enter the Josephinum, it sounds like your family was probably delighted because they seemed to be supportive when you were younger about a religious calling. Did you have any friends that maybe were shocked, surprised, trying to talk you out of it? Or
yes, I did. I had a very supportive family. When I told them, they were very supportive. So my mother cried, and I was trying to figure out, is that a bad or a good thing? But it was a good thing. There were tears of joy to see her son enter the priesthood. But I did have some friends who, mostly who did not share the faith, that tried to discourage me. Where they were saying, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to get married? I said, well, this is what God wants of me. I have to answer to God. So it's so countercultural, especially to some of those who are not Catholic, that they tried to dissuade me in such a way that they thought I would be happy if I didn't join the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the opposite. Is when you follow God's plan, that's when you find happiness, fulfillment. But most of my friends were very supportive of this decision.
And then after the Josephinum, 4 years, you weren't there. How many years at Josephinum? Because you already had 3 years of OSU, so.
Yes, I was the Josephinum in the college there for 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you had decided to study theology at Mount St. Mary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, but the doubts kind of followed you there too as well.
That's right, yeah. My first semester there was very difficult at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland. I once again fell into this notion that my plan was the right plan and God's was not. So the idea of having a family, the idea of making money came back to the forefront of my mind. And so I decided to leave seminary actually after one semester in major seminary after studying a semester of theology.
But God wasn't going to let you go that easily, was he?
Oh, no. He...
You have a wonderful story. Tell us how God called you back.
Right.
Literally.
So, he did, yeah. So after leaving seminary, I didn't abandon the priesthood idea completely after some convincing. from some friends. But I lived at my home parish, Holy Cross, for a while and worked for airport security, which I know aren't much beloved. But anyway, that was an interesting experience. But yeah, it was one day when I decided to go into cathedral downtown St. Joseph's and pray about this whole priesthood idea once and more. And I remember kneeling in front of the statue of Our Lady, and I said, okay, Our Lady, would you please tell your son to give me a sign that indeed I am called to the priesthood, because if I don't get a sign, then I'm going to abandon the idea entirely. So after saying that prayer, I remember walking out of cathedral and turning on my cell phone. And there was, you know, the message that you have a voicemail. And so I listened to the voicemail, and it was a priest who actually was the vocations director for the diocese. So the priest is in charge of those studying for the priesthood. And he said in that message, Dan, you are called to be a priest. I think you will be a great priest, and I'd like to talk to you about this. So
might as well have been God calling you, huh?
God called me, literally, through this priest to tell me, yes, you are called to be a priest of Jesus Christ. And I don't remember if I broke down crying. I probably did after hearing that message. But that was God saying, you need to answer your call.
You know, sometimes God whispers and sometimes he hits us over the head with a 2x4. And that was one of those 2x4 moments.
Exactly. And I need that a lot in my life.
I do too. So, so you re-entered Mount St. Mary's and you finished up there. You were ordained on May 29th, 2010. So you're one of our newer priests in the diocese, and you are such a blessing. We're so delighted to have you in our diocese. And Bishop Frederick Campbell had also given you some helpful advice at that time of your life regarding discernment.
Yes, he did. During that time when I left seminary, I went to see him, and he told me something that I'll never forget. He said, Dan, you know, the world always wants to keep options open, but that's not healthy. You can't do that. You have to answer that call and move forward and quit looking back constantly. And that was one of the problems that I had in seminary. I said, well, am I called to the priest or am I not? Am I not? It was questioning constantly, and that's not healthy. You just have to move forward, put yourself in God's hand. He will take care of you.
We're talking with Father Dan Dury of St. Paul's Catholic Church in Westerville, our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio at its new home at AM 820. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and we're talking to Father Dan about his spiritual journey into the priesthood. You know, Father Dan, what I love about your particular faith journey is that it doesn't follow the typical pattern of discerning a call and following it to its logical conclusion, or hearing a call and resisting it completely. But yours was kind of like this tug of war, a following, then a resistance, and then a following, and then a resisting, and until ultimately you followed it. And again, I just think it's a real part of spiritual journeys, because not every spiritual journey is a straight line. But then once you returned to Emmitsburg, when you were finishing with junior theology, it sounded like it was pretty much smooth sailing at that point.
It was, yes.
You have a wonderful story that happened during the time you were in theology school. I think you were around a transitional deacon at that point. It had to do with your grandfather. Can you share that one with us?
Yes, that's right. I was a deacon at this point, only a year away from ordination to priesthood. And just a little background, my grandfather, he wasn't a very religious person. As a matter of fact, he was pretty anti-religious. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying, well, all those Christian ministers are all con artists, you know. All they care about is money. So he was very much against religion. He liked me, though, of course, as his grandson. So that was good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's always good. So during seminary, we would be able to go home during holidays. And so this was a couple of years ago, and I went home for Thanksgiving. My grandfather was in very ill health, so he was near death, really. And he had never been baptized. I knew that was very serious. So during Thanksgiving dinner at my grandfather's home, a cousin of mine at one point, she garnered enough courage to say, Papaw, as we call my grandfather, Papaw, why don't you be baptized?
Pass the potatoes.
I thought, well, she's very brave. Yeah, pass the potatoes, that's right. And I was cheering her on secretly. And she said it again. She looked at me. She said, "Dan, don't you have to be baptized to be saved, to get into heaven?" And I can't lie, even though it was my grandfather. I said, "Well, yes, baptism is necessary for salvation, as we know from sacred scripture, 1 sure. John. And so she turned to him again and said, "Pat Paul, do you want to be baptized?" And he said, "Yes."
Wow.
Now, I thought I was going to fall over in my chair. I might have, actually. And so I asked my grandfather, I said, "Pat Paul, do you want to be baptized?" He said, "Yes." So I asked him two more times because I couldn't believe it. I was in shock at this point. He said yes each time. And so I asked him, I said, "Are you sorry for all your sins?" He looked at me and said, "Yes." And so I got the bucket of water and baptized my grandfather on Thanksgiving Day when I was a deacon and when I was home on break. And I was rarely home.
Wow.
So it was no doubt, there was no doubt in my mind that God had arranged this.
Yeah.
No doubt.
A beautiful foreshadowing of how you were going to powerfully touch people's lives as a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's continue your story. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. You were ordained a year and a half ago, and here in the Columbus Diocese, you currently serve at the largest parish and parochial school in our diocese, St. Paul's in Westerville. That's quite a difference from Holy Cross, where you grew up, huh?
Absolutely. It's the largest parish in the diocese, the largest Catholic grade school in the state. So there's a lot to do. Always busy, which is good. Keeps me out of trouble.
Was it hard to adjust to that, or was that okay for you?
No, not really. The adjustment into parish, into the priesthood, really was very easy, actually, through the grace of God. So I very much enjoy my time there.
Now, in your year and a half as a priest so far, what do you find most rewarding and what's most challenging to you?
Well, most rewarding is obviously to be able to offer the Holy Mass. I remember after my ordination day, I was so excited. It was like Christmas morning, waking up to be able to offer the Mass. I mean, that is just an incredible experience, to be able to confect the Eucharist.
Where'd you do that, by the way? Where was your first Mass?
The first Mass was at Holy Cross Parish downtown.
Nice.
A beautiful old church. The oldest church in Columbus, actually.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's a wonderful experience, obviously. And then just to be able to help others reach heaven. That's what the priesthood's all about, is about serving the people of God to aid them in getting to heaven, to the intimate union with God. So it's really a paradox. The more you give up yourself, the more you receive. And so it's certainly very rewarding in that aspect.
And what about challenging? What's most challenging so far?
There are some challenging moments in the priesthood, no doubt about that. One of the more challenging aspects of the priesthood is perhaps the lack of adequate catechesis of the people in the faith. So lack of understanding of basic moral teaching of the church and why the church teaches what it does.
Right.
And so that's a constant struggle to fight against popular culture and relativism, really, the doctrine of relativism.
Absolutely. And that's what we're hoping at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio at AMA 20. That's what we're doing, is bringing that catechesis and helping people know what the church teaches and why, because there's mm-hmm. so much beauty and truth in that. You were talking to me on the phone about the need to develop a personal relationship with Christ, and it seemed to be something that you yourself picked up maybe in your early school years. Why is that important to you, and how do you maintain that today as a young priest?
Well, especially in the priesthood, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You're going to be miserable and bitter. And that really is true for everyone, because it is only in Christ and in one's relationship with Him where you will find meaning, fulfillment. Not to say you will not encounter struggles or difficulties in life,
right?
But that you will be able to navigate through them. And so prayer is so very essential to everyone's lives, in particular the priesthood. So that means spending time each day talking to Jesus, but also listening to Him. I don't know if you met those people who say, "Enough about me. What do you think about me? It's not fun." So we don't want to do that to God.
Right.
We want to spend time listening to Him as well. So just to be there in silence in His presence is so essential.
Oh, I totally agree. And that's a great message you can be bringing those children, you know, at St. Paul's. They need to know that from early years. In the beginning of your story, you were telling us about your family devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. She was a patron of your elementary school as well, and it was an image of the Blessed Mother that you were praying in front of when God powerfully answered that prayer you had about the priesthood. So is it safe to say that you have maintained a devotion to Our Lady today, and how does she enhance your priesthood?
Oh, absolutely. I think every priest has to have a relationship with Christ's Mother, because she is in a unique way the mother of priests, as we are in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Jesus Christ as head.
Right.
And so the rosary is very important to spend time speaking with Our Lady, asking for her help. And that is probably one of the biggest helps in my priesthood, the intercession of Our Lady.
What could you say to someone who might be listening that just wasn't raised with Blessed Mother in the house and a devotion? Maybe they're new Catholics, or, you know, and she's just a stranger to them. How can we embrace her more fully and bring her into our spirituality?
Well,
or why should we?
Well, definitely she's important. Every good son listens to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that she's a very powerful intercessor in heaven for us. So I would encourage one who's just maybe coming back to the Catholic Church, or just building a relationship with Mary, to learn about her life, learn about her saying yes to God's plan for her, to read about her in sacred scripture. You'll get to know her through that experience. Just as St. Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ, I believe it can be said as well, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Our Lady.
Mm.
And so the necessity to learn about her life will allow you to know her in a very intimate way.
That's beautiful. And I've talked to priests who have said having a relationship with her is it completes them in their priesthood, you know, and certainly we see that with like Pope John Paul, the late Pope John Paul. He so embraced her with every fiber of his being, and he was like the most, you know, integrated man ever, you know, to produce things like Theology of the Body and everything. So it's so beautiful to see priests and have that relationship with Blessed Mother, and to encourage the faithful to have one as well. It's all good. It's all good. Father Dan, what personal qualities or charisms or gifts do you think God has given you that you find particularly helpful in your vocation today?
Well, I don't know if I have a whole lot.
I'm sure you do, more than you want to say.
I like to say that a good sense of humor will help people come closer to Christ. If you can laugh, and even, you know, self-deprecation, so laughing about your own mistakes will help people see you as a human being, and will attract them to listen to you more in other areas as well. And so I think that's certainly a gift that God has given me. A sense of humor, to be able to relate to people of all kinds, of all backgrounds as well. So,
terrific. And what advice do you have for men who might be discerning a call to the priesthood or religious life?
Pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. That's really it. And you have to, of course, the most powerful prayer is the Mass. So you have to build that relationship with Christ. And prayer is not always easy. I mean, it can be very difficult. But, you know, sacrifice equals love. And so will it require sacrifice of you to pray? Absolutely it will. But when you do it, it is there where you will find fulfillment in God's plan for you. Listen to God. That means turning off the iPod. That means turning off the TV and just spending that time in silence with Christ. That is really the number one piece of advice that I can give.
That's great. And if perhaps someone out there is listening and maybe they think they're being called, you know, and are making that time to quiet and to pray, you know, any other advice, what would their next step be?
Well, I would visit with a priest. If you feel called to the priesthood, in particular, perhaps even contact the vocations director for the diocese, Father Paul Noble, which you can find through the website of the Diocese of Columbus. To be able to talk to someone about what you're feeling is very, very essential.
Terrific. You know, we just have a few minutes left. You recently just took a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Tell us some of the highlights about that pilgrimage.
Oh, that was amazing. What an amazing experience. One of the goals of my life was to visit the place where Jesus walked. And so I'll never forget that experience. And I still wish I was there. It's warmer there, number one.
Yeah.
But to be able to visit those sites where Jesus suffered, you know, the Via Crucis, and also to be where he died and resurrected, that made scripture for me come alive. And I never read scripture the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can relate that in my sermons, my homilies as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was privileged to go there back in 94. And you're right, you're never the same again. You'll never read those scriptures the same again. Father Dan, it's just been such a pleasure having you. Would you mind closing our show today with a blessing?
Absolutely. Once again, thank you for having me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask you to draw us closer to your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints in heaven. We ask that you protect us from all evil and grant us many more blessed years. And I bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And again, that was the voice of Father Dan Dury, the associate pastor of St. Paul's in Westerville. I thank you again for sharing your faith journey as we seek to hear and answer God's call in our own lives, Father. And I am Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. I'm also a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From?, Where Do Sisters Come From?, and Where Do Deacons Come From?. And I invite you to visit my website, Elizabeth Ficicelli, for more on my speaking and my books. So I hope you'll join us next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. as we have another edition of Answering the Call, where we'll be meeting priests and deacons and religious sisters and brothers from our diocese to find out about their spiritual paths, how God called them, in what ways did God call them, how did they respond? And we're having so many examples of how people have heard it and responded, and the interesting journeys God has taken them on. So again, a pleasure to be here. I look forward to you joining me next week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.